Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The class is mainly about Bhaktivinoda, but we'll do the text. Vayam cha syam cha ye jime tulya kalas characharaha janma mrityor yata paskat pran naivam adunapi bhog vayur cha tiyam cha me chime tuya kalas characharaha janma mrityor yata paskat prana naivam adunapi bhog. Ladies. Vayam, we, the great sages and the ministers and adherents of the king, cha, and tuam, you, cha, also, ye, who, cha, also, me, these, tulya kalyaha, assembled at the same time, chara, acharaha, moving and not moving, janma, birth, mityor, and death, yatya, just as, paskat, after, prak, before, na, not, evam, thus, adhuna, at present, api, although, Bo, O King. Translation purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O King, both of you and us, your advisors, wives, and ministers, as well as everything moving and non-moving throughout the entire cosmos at this time, are in a temporary situation. Before our birth, the situation did not exist, and after our birth, it will exist no longer. Therefore, our situation now is temporary, although it is not false. Please repeat. O King, both of you and us, your advisors, wives, and ministers, as well as everything moving and not moving throughout the entire cosmos, at this time are in a temporary situation. Before our birth, this situation did not exist. And after our birth, it will exist no longer. Therefore, our situation now is temporary, although it is not false. Purport. The Mayavadi philosophers say, Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya. Brahman, the living being, is factual, but his present bodily situation is false. According to Vaishnava philosophy, however, the present situation is not false, but temporary. It is like a dream. A dream does not exist before one falls asleep, nor does it continue after one awakes. The period for dreaming exists only between these two. Therefore, it is false in a sense that it is impermanent. Similarly, the entire material creation, including our own creation and those of others, is impermanent. We do not lament for the situation in a dream, because a dream takes place or after it is over. And so during a dream, or during a dreamlike situation, one should not accept it as factual and lament about it. This is a real knowledge. On one morning walk, Srila Prabhupada was talking about this, how the seer is the same in a dreaming and an awake situation. And so when I heard that, we were walking on the upper beach in Venice in Los Angeles, and it struck a note. The seer is the same. So when he said that, it was very mystical. I didn't know what he was talking about, being a brand new devotee. But the seer is the same in a waking and a dreaming situation. We're always present. But in a dreaming situation, although it's temporary, this life continues. And what's the difference between a waking and a dreaming state? And Prabhupada summed it up very, very quite amazingly, is that in a waking state, we're just dreaming longer. We're awake longer. In other words, it's a continuum, that ultimately it's all temporary, the dream state and the waking state, it's all one continual. So in this continuum, whether we're sleeping or awake, ultimately as a devotee, it completely turns around. That in a dreaming state, if you're dreaming of, many dream of Prabhupada and the deities, I've had many, and in that dreaming state, it's taken as darshan, that actually you're getting the mercy full on from Prabhupada or from the deities. And I'll tell one story, it's really funny. This one dream, Prabhupada came in a dream, and he bust into the room in a dream and woke me up in a dream, and my wife. And so he says, time to get serious about your spiritual life. I may have mentioned this before, but it's funny. And so then I woke up, wrote it down, all the details, and I went back to sleep. Again he comes. This time he's got a big marble plaque. You heard this story? Anyway, on a marble plaque it was inscribed, chiseled in Latin, big words. And so I looked at it, and I knew what it meant. So he said, Prabhupada asked me, do you know what this means? And I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, I know Italian, it's almost like that. But what does it say? It says, get serious about your spiritual life. Again, chisel in stone. And then he looked at me and he looked at the person to the side. And he said, he should get serious about his spiritual life, shouldn't he? I looked over and it's another Prabhupada, two Prabhupadas, face to face, telling me, get serious about your spiritual life. So from that point on, I tried my best. I've been trying to be serious. But in a waking state, now we have more opportunity to do service, but it's temporary. And we take it as like it's going to last forever. We think this life is never going to end. And we see around us everybody popping off, all our famous God brothers now taking their leave. And many stories how, just heard it recently, one story about this devotee God brother's wife died. And so in the interim, just after she died, she appeared to him and looked in a mirror. Look in the mirror, she's talking to him. You can hear the talk. And so she's in the spiritual plane. And so he'd look in the mirror. Well, he looked in the mirror, he saw himself, but he saw behind there was this person. In any case, she gave some information about who's there. Jayananda's there, all the big kirtan leaders are there, Vishnujan, Haridas, I mean, he asked about Jyota Haridas. Well, he's associate of Lord Chaitanya, he's there. And so ultimately the kirtan rolling on is that when we depart from this body, it's a joyous occasion. There's nothing lamenting about a person passing away, because ultimately you go back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada's famous about this back door key. I don't know how big that key is, but it must be a big one to turn that back door lock. And so he has that for all the devotees that come into this new, be a new development place in the spiritual world, where there'll be a lot of senior devotees already living in their apartments. And Guru Kripa is one of them. Prabhupada said, you're given money to help build these big temples all over Mayapur, Vrindavan, Bombay. He gave a lot of money. He says, while you're given money, Krishna is building your house in the spiritual world. And then Sarab also, Maharaj at that time, he got the mercy also because he built the places. And I helped him with the samadhis here and in Vrindavan. In any case, his place is there. And so ultimately, we're all in a neighborhood. We're going to be friends in the spiritual world, living on the same street, maybe. And I remember when I first, before I joined, I was living in New York City, right near Tompkins Square Park. And Brahmananda lived in a few houses away, and Hansa Duda was on that block. And we're all basically associates in different ways. We've come from strange, different backgrounds. But ultimately, here we are together. And this is part of the dream, that actually we're here for a moment, this class ends, and we all disperse, and another class starts, and another group will come. And so on and on it goes until perpetual time runs. So in this temporary situation, make the most of it. So as we are, you know, working so hard to glorify the Lord, and whatever service we do is accumulative. It doesn't just, you know, like any work we do outside karmi world, ultimately it's just temporary, you get no benefit. But in the spiritual world, you get a lot of benefit. And so this leads into Bhaktivinoda's life. And he's born 1838 in a small town, Uttalu Nagar. And his family died off really quick. And so he had brothers, and they died, and father, mother stayed alive, and one sister, and there was a cholera epidemic. They left. They went to Calcutta and survived. That it was a tumultuous disease and killed most of the villagers. And so his life went on. And so his maternal grandfather called him back, and he said, because he was about to leave the body. So these stories are famous, but I'll try to find new things. So the grandfather said, when you turn 27, your life will be established, and whatever work you're doing will be your lifetime occupation. And don't mess around here very long. Just get out of here. Don't stay in this town. When I go, you go. And so he did that. And sure enough, when he turned 27, he became a first district magistrate and a district collector. He had high posts right from the very beginning, at very early age, at 27. So his life starts very quick like that. And apart from all the writings that he wrote for 19 years in seclusion, he took a period of time away from his office duties, and he just wrote. Now, his schedule is something remarkable. He only slept 2 hours and 45 minutes, according to his schedule as written. And 6 hours in court, he did his job really fast, 6 hours writing. So when he went to court, it was by carriage. But then they built that railroad that used to be across the river. A small gauge train that used to carry, I remember when it was running. And so he was very well placed, and he moved around different positions. He kept changing when there was difficulty. He had fever different times. But ultimately, his life as a court judge was very fast. obviously, you know, the Paramahansa, so he knew who's lying, who's telling the truth, and what judgment to make. But very fast. He did all his work quickly, in 6 hours. It was early in the morning. He'd take his breakfast. I'll get the whole schedule later. But then he'd come back for lunch 1 hour, and then he'd go back to office and stay till 5 and came back and start reading and writing again. And so Prabhupada paralleled this, and he wrote very little. I mean, he slept very little, but he wrote incredibly, as we know. And this is the key to Vaishnavacharyas. They leave their word. And so Bhaktivinoda's words ring really strong. And wait a minute. I want to read the famous line that he gives all, we hear all so much. Oh, for that day when the fortunate English, French, Russian, German, and Americans will take up banners and mridangas and kartels and raise kirtan through the streets and towns. When will that day come? When will fair-skinned men from their side will rise up the chanting of Jai Satchinanda, and join the Bengali devotees? Jai Satchinanda, Jai Satchinanda, Jai Satchinanda. So here we are chanting Jai Satchinanda, predicting the predictions well taking place. And he said that in time, there'll be a personality who will soon appear. It will take this message across the entire world. And he's the one that said it about Lord Chaitanya's prediction in every town and village. And so that prediction, as we know, is very well placed now by Srila Prabhupada. So he was given an initiation by Bipin Bihar, who was known as the energy of the Lord. And so no small personality. But his diksha came in that line, and that's a Genovese line. But when he was in Vrindavan, he met his Shiksha Guru, Jagannath Babaji. And so they struck it off very closely. And when Jagannath Babaji left, Bhaktivinoda kept his clothes, his kopan and his top shoes, all the cloth he had. So when he retired to Puri, he took Babaji. And so for 4 years he was in Samadhi. And so those 4 years he was a Babaji and had the same clothes that Jagannath Babaji wore. And so he had established a printing press in Calcutta along, I guess not the same one that his son established. And so he was printing, and he knew 7 languages. Got it written here somewhere. Anyway, 7 languages. And the printing press was at the Bhakti Bhavan, Calcutta. Then the famous story about the location of the Yogapith. Now, before his time, everybody was suggesting that it was in Navadvip. And so it's a very detailed description about what happened. And so he went through all the early maps on Navadvip, and he found out that Navadvip was only 100 years old at that time, established only 100 years before. So it couldn't be the Yogapith. Then from across the river, he was looking over towards Mayapur. He saw one area way in the distance, and it was effulgence. It was a big light coming. A very tall tala tree was there, covered in what he found later, a substance, very unusual. And so that was a prolifery of tulsis growing all around that area. The Muslims were afraid of it, and they thought it was haunted, so they stayed away. And so this bore out to be exactly the location of Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. And so he brought Jagannath Babaji along in a basket to confirm it. And so as soon as Jagannath Babaji got to that spot, it said he leaped out of the, he couldn't walk, but he leaped out of this and jumped like 4 or 5 feet in the air and started, Jai Satchinanda, Jai Satchinanda, here we go. And so he ultimately, confirmed that this was the place of Lord Chaitanya's birth. So then Bhaktivinoda took it upon himself as a mission to fulfill the prophecy of building a temple on that spot. So he collected and very humbly, you know, he's a very, at this point, very highly placed, very astute scholar, as we know, a pure devotee, so he had nothing, small about him. He was a big man. And so he went to his enemies' houses and knocked on the door. Now, please, some tokens, some gift, some donation for this temple we're building. Now, Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. It has to be built. And so he collected the money, and the construction started. And when they were digging, they found the Kurma deity, and they gave it to his son to worship. And so as they built the place, then there was the opening ceremony, and they were inviting all the English authorities at that time. And so he had set it up so that the English would have their meat and their wine and everything else, and that the devotees would have a separate kitchen. There was this Armstrong, a fellow that was an ambassador, one of the ministers from England. So remember, this is British time. So everything, all the placements were done through the British. So when Bhaktivinoda took these big positions of district magistrate, that's next to the governor. So a very big, high position in different places. And so he was even packing the chillums of these cooks that day for the opening to make sure everything went right and the cooks were doing their job. He went out of his way, bent over backward to make everything right, and give facility for this. And so they even named this school next to Yogapith in his honor, Bhaktivinoda School. And so the opening went well, and God Save the King was a banner that was placed there. And so somebody joked and put a different name up there, Down with the King, or it was like, you know, Save the World. Any case, so that was a very important issue that happened. And then later, when he was in Puri, he was the district magistrate, and the king embezzled 80,000 rupees. Now, at that time, 80,000 rupees wasn't a small amount. And so he forced that king to make 52 offerings every day to compensate for that 80,000 rupees that he stole, misappropriated. And so this didn't set well with the king. So the king at that time wasn't a very good person. And so he set aside 50 pandits, and in secret, they were chanting these mantras to kill Bhaktivinoda. And so it went on for a whole month, for 30 days. And so at the end of the 30 days, guess what happened? Who knows? Go ahead. Yeah, his son died. The only son of the king died instead of Bhaktivinoda. So be very careful about, if you take out your thread and you give it a whip ear and you start, you can't, it has a potency. But if you do it, sometimes it boomerangs or comes back on you. And there's stories of devotees who are like, cursed each other to fall down, and ultimately they both fell down. Very big name devotees, I won't mention their name. But in any case, don't do it. Don't think that you can get away with it, not for this age. And then when in 1896, Bhaktivinoda wrote that book, Life and Teachings of the Precepts of Lord Chaitanya, sent it to McGill University. One devotee went there and found the book. That actual book was there. He stole the book, and he gave it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, I think Prabhupada told him to give it back, you know. But that was the year of Prabhupada's birth also. And so Prabhupada talked about it. Who could know that at that time that book was in the hands of Americans or Canadians? And so, and I took birth at that same time. Who could know that all you people, all you devotees here, all you my students would come? I had never expected all this. And Prabhupada kept saying that. He never expected the success that was happening when all the books were printed. And like now, it's in the millions of books. I read 500 million books been distributed since Prabhupada's time. So Bhaktivinoda's literary career had no limit. He was writing 6 hours every day, but he had that 19-year period where he just wrote continually and chanted. So in his career, as he moved around, he wanted Krishnagar as his home base. And when he built the ashram across the river, from there he looked across and he saw, you know, the plains of Mayapur, and it was empty at that time. And so I did a painting once, and it was in one of the early Mayapur magazines, of Bhaktivinoda looking across the Jalangi. And there appeared the domes. at that time the samadhi was just starting. Dome wasn't up yet. So I painted in the different domes, and it was mentioned there would be golden domes by Lord Nityananda, and now we have it. So predictions are taking place that we're now all the different nations have come together. It's like what Prabhupada says, the real United Nations is right here, you know, at ISKCON. The schedule, let me just read about this amazing schedule he had. He got 8 p.m. to 10 o'clock he slept, 2 hours. He wrote till 4 a.m., took rest of a half hour, chanted japa till 7, and he wrote letters and read for till 8:30. Then 15 minutes rest. At 9:45 he took his bath, and by 9:55, 10 minutes, take his bath and take breakfast, which was just some milk and some cereal juice, very light. Then he took his carriage, 10 to 1, he was in court, home by 2 p.m., so then returned to office. He was up to 1, then back to the office at 2 to 5. So 2 hours, 45 minutes, sleeping, 6 hours in court, 6 hours of writing. So a very prolific, you know, understanding of how to use your day. And in the beginning, his first wife died when they were very young. He married second wife. We had 7 boys and 3 girls. But from the first wife, there was 1 boy. And he took his first teaching job. And then it was a big deal to find out CC. So he was looking hard to find Chaitanya Charitamrita. It didn't exist. I mean, the book existed, but there was no copies. And finally, he did get one. So by that time, and when he got his first teaching job, then he started reading about Lord Chaitanya. 2 months after the first wife died, he remarried Bhagavati Dasi. Then 1861, he was reading fully the CC. So I mentioned this, that he spoke Bengali, Sanskrit, English, Latin, Urdu, Persian, and Orient. Doesn't say about Hindi. The fourth son was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Now, when he was in Puri, he gave classes when he was a district magistrate. He was a big person. But he was giving classes at Topa Gopinath in Gambira and different places in the Haridas, of course, Samadhi. And so right across the street from the Samadhi, Haridas, he had his kuti. It was Bhakti Kuti, he called it. And so there he did his last writings and went into seclusion for his last 4 years. He was at this time now Babaji. And so for 4 years he said he was having paralysis, so he didn't want to be disturbed. And so for those 4 years, just chanting, he was in samadhi. And so when he left his body in Puri, he was brought back here. Well, then there's a famous story of Bishop Singh. Now you know the story. He was this first class demon. He had long hair, big locks, and he was a disheveled kind of person, but he was impersonating Ma Vishnu. And so the villagers were scared of this guy because he had great powers. He could do many unusual tricks. And Prabhupada warned about that. He says, you know, I don't do any magic, but look what we have. We have the greatest magician in the world, Srila Prabhupada. They transform all our lives. So anyway, this Vishak Singh was having relations with all the married women in that town. They were afraid they couldn't do anything about it. So neighboring towns complained about it. They didn't want that to happen in their town. But this guy was gaining power and it was increasing all over that area. And so the same thing happened just some recently, years back in Vrindavan. There's a guy, looked like a very greasy looking Indian, American Indian. I don't know if I should mention his name, Kripalu. And so at any rate, he had a big following and had a big, huge opening in this black box. And then he had a big, huge bhakti dham. Anyway, he began the same way, doing the same thing in Vrindavan. And the Brahmins were so upset, man, they threw him out of the town. And he comes back later and he built this gigantic, huge complex, all done in marble. And so the marble was by expensive marble cutting machines from Italy. It could transform a sculpture into marble in 2 days, completely by computer, a pantographic rendition in marble. And so anyway, he was doing, they bought all this marble from Carrara, and he even bought a miner, and he transformed it into places. There was a takeoff from our Samadhi for Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, which was all marble. He wanted to make something much bigger, so he did. Sorry about that. In any case, this Vikshuk Sain was doing this, and ultimately Bhaktivinoda goes to his place. And so very politely he came and dressed in Karmi clothes. And so he says, well, you're a big person. Why don't you come to Puri and worship Lord Jagannath directly? He says, why should I go to Puri? Well, I'm Lord Jagannath, I'm Mahavishnu, so why should I go anywhere? You should all come here and worship me. So this is all that he could handle. Bhaktivinoda grabbed him, they handcuffed him and took him to prison. And so when he was in court, then the whole story begins about the powers that he had, because he had long hair. And yogis, some people understood that's where the power is, like Samson Delilah. In any case, so the guy's going through a 20-period imprisonment in Puri. And during that time, Bhaktivinoda's family got sick and the daughter almost died. Bhaktivinoda himself almost died because of the potency this guy had about creating mischief. So all these fevers were taking place, and people around the area also, they were being affected by this guy. And he was fasting for 20 days. And so no water and no food for all the time increased his powers to a high point. And so Bhaktivinoda, in a court, sentenced him to justice. And ultimately, a British officer came up behind him with scissors and cut his hair. And so as soon as his hair was cut, he fell to the floor and lost all his energy. And so when that happened, all his followers, the courtroom was full of his followers, this guy's followers. So big demons have big entourages. Anyway, they all left. They see the guy only had power in his hair. So when the hair is cut, so that's why we shave up. You know, we don't keep the hair, because it's a good reason. And Prabhupada said once to one lady, I think Chicago, and she asked, Srila, Swami, why do you shave your head? And he asked, why do you shave your legs? Now that's really hilarious, because better a cool head than cold legs. So she didn't quite pick up, and then they laughed after. So Prabhupada gave us a reason. I mean, if you grow your long hair, I'm going back to America, so I'm keeping mine for a while. Ultimately, I have to visit with my relatives, and they don't like shaved head. In any case, I'll shave it up. So the guy practically died. He did die. Ultimately, Bishop Sena died, you know, shortly after that. And then, and that was the end of that story. And so Srila Bhakti Siddhanta mentions two things, that Gadadhar Pandit and his father are one and the same energy, the same personality. He says that Gorkishore was also Sarup Damodar. So these predictions came right from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And also that it was just that Kamala Manjari is his spiritual, he's part of Lalita's entourage and Rupa Manjari. So we come in a long line, nice disciplic succession, and Bhaktivinoda, at the time he was writing, there was nobody else. Nobody understood anything about Lord Chaitanya. And so there were no books, and it was just practically unknown here in Bengal. And so with a few people in Calcutta who were scholars, they knew. But ultimately he had to revive this whole, all these bells and all these different groups that were like anti-Vaishnav, they were prominent. And so the prominence of all these different cults was very strong. So he had to work so hard to reestablish Vaishnavism. And so here he is coming out of nowhere, you know, just a court judge, and suddenly he takes to Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And he got CC, and that completely transformed his whole mentality. He started thinking, it's amazing that here is a personality, Gadadhar Pandit, it had to go through all this. And Prabhupada, in his early activity and established in this movement was so filled with austerities and difficulties. And so for us to have to follow in the pattern of these great saints, whatever we do is nothing compared to what they had to transpire through. And so whatever we do in this lifetime, anyway, we can glorify them and glorify them, the whole mission and chant and preach and establish it all over the world. It's to our benefit and ultimately the benefit of all those we preach to. Now, even when there's no preaching done, like in Prabhupada one time in Conway Hall, they had rented this big hall and they had advertised it in England, in London, but nobody came. And so Prabhupada said, even if you're preaching to the walls, ultimately the walls will be transformed. Stone actually can be transformed. And that's what happened in the preaching, that there's a prediction by Nostradamus that personality will come and his preaching will break the stones. It will be so sweet that it'll be soft nectar for the ears of the devotees. And so he talked about two things, about Lord Chaitanya's coming 500 years, because he was contemporary at that time. He, Nostradamus and Lord Chaitanya, contemporaries. Different parts of the world, of course, but they were on the same time. And so he said, in 500 years, this whole personality will, he's coming out of the east, wearing yellow clothes and turning to blue clothes. And his effulgence will radiate, and his words will reach the entire world. And he also, town and village thing, that everywhere his message will be heard. And that a personality will come. And he saw that personality in his vision, that he would be carrying a rod, a danda. He'd be dressed in rose-colored cloth. And his words would be so sweet, it'll melt the hearts of the stone-hearted Germans. Be careful if you're a German, because your heart will have a hard time melting. Anyway, that's what happened in Germany. It's still a problem there in the preaching. And so it mentions these two things, that ultimately that person will come and the preaching will spread all over the world, predicted by Nostradamus 500 years at that time before. So we're in this amazing line, in simple succession, and Prabhupada's carrying a weight, the entire the connection all the way to Krishna. And so here we are on the other end of it, taking the benefit of this whole line of preaching and everything that they did to establish all the pioneers in our movement also. The austerities and the difficulties that each person had to confront. And I remember in the early days in Vrindavan and also in Los Angeles, it wasn't easy. And one time I was a brand new devotee and I was told that Prabhupada knew ESP, extrasensory perception. I might have mentioned this. But I wanted to find out. So in my mind, and Prabhupada was standing right in front of me, I said, Srila, in my mind, I'm saying this, Srila Prabhupada, you know, I don't understand. I've been with artists and people all my life, you know, different groups, and I've never had the problems I'm having here. Cutthroat, backbiting, criticism, arguing, and just so much disagreement and just, you know, controversy. I thought I'd join a religious organization. He turned around, looked at me, smiled, and gave a nod that he heard. And just wait, you'll see. And so 2 weeks later, I found out that nobody was chanting the rounds. There were five big leaders at that time in L.A. None of them were chanting. They had their bead bag as a hand warmer. And so ultimately, the chanting, if you're in a big position and you're just in that position and all you know how to do is say no, ultimately you got trouble. If you're not chanting, not following the program, you have no right to be in a position. So leadership means that your first position is to be an astute student and a first-class devotee. Ultimately, you have no position at all. Other than that, whatever we do, it's all based on our sadhana. The sadhana is strong. Ultimately, we can do anything. And so that's already borne out in the fruit of the whole movement. Amazing things have happened. Miracles took place. And I talked to Sarab at that time. We were here in Mayapur building the samadhi. And so at that time, it was like, you know, just an empty field. And so the key to success, he said, I never took any money. And so that's the answer. If you take even a drop of this, one story, Srila Prabhupada is up in, upstairs in his room, and he went to the other end looking towards the gate. And he saw this devotee, sannyasi, walking out with an attaché case. And he shouted, stop that man, stop him. And so Tapa Moya told me the story. So he ran all the way up the road, all the way to the gate, and grabbed a hold of the attaché case, and it opened up, and there was hundreds of dollars of bills there. It was packed full of money. So here was a sannyasi running out with big, huge amounts of money. He can't do it. And I've talked to this in class in Vrindavan so many times. I was 37 years in Vrindavan. And I saw all these village boys coming to Vrindavan, you know, poor, with nothing, hardly any money at all, to even buy a cloth, given everything, and pretty soon, within a few months, they got a Rolex, they got silk cloth, they're driving a car, they're going out collecting, and who knows how much money is given from the collection, but ultimately it wasn't all going, and they all have bank accounts. Now, brahmacharis with bank accounts is just unbelievable, and so there's no reason for it. Ultimately, you give everything to the Lord. When I joined, we go out and sing, I set a record of back to Godheads in one day. I was told you can't let anybody go by. You give everybody a book, otherwise they'd lose the opportunity for millions of years because of the in-breath of Lord Vishnu. Wow. I was okay. So they'd be coming down the street in San Diego, to like 10 across. I give everybody a book, back to Godhead. Then they would walk by, I give the next group another book, 10 at a time. Then I go back to the first group and collect the money. Then I go to the second group, and then on and on, not like that. I set a record for that day. In any case, that's the key, that if somebody doesn't get the message in this lifetime, they go into the in-breath of Mahavishnu. That's millions of years. To never see the light. They'll miss the whole 10,000 golden years of this moment of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And so who knows what happens in the next life. So millions of years again, they come out in the out-breath and take up right up where they left off, as a dog, as a cockroach, whatever it might be. So when you preach to your friends, you might tell them about that. You know, in your next life, you might be a cockroach. And if you're eating meat and toxic, I got to tell my friends that. I'm going back shortly to America. I got to confront all these people who are my friends who are eating meat and getting intoxicated. They have no idea what they're doing. So the ramifications are so heavy that take a birth of every hair in the back of the animal they ate. So that means millions of lifetimes in the animal body. And that's why there's so much slaughter of cows, because they've taken, it goes on and on, repetitive. And so the bottom line here is that we follow in the pathway of the acharya, like Bhaktivinoda, set an example in his lifestyle, and how easy it was for him to go through his daily activities and still chant, keep a sadhana, and we do the same thing. And so early morning practice, Prabhupada gave us a sandwich. And so if we follow that, ultimately we go back home, back to Godhead. The door's open. There's a big opportunity there. It's three quarters bigger, so it means that the ISKCON in the spiritual world is three times bigger. There's going to be a wonderful opportunity there to associate with all these God brothers and sisters. And so when we pass away, it's a wonderful thing. And I've seen in Vrindavan those that came and passed away with a smile on their face. You know, then there's one devotee, this sannyas from France, the only sannyas Prabhupada made in France. He went away, he got lost, got intoxicated, degraded, but he was in a coma for 30 days. And so at the end, he was just about to leave the body. All these doctors are around him. And suddenly he wakes up. He says, Srila Prabhupada, you've come. He dies. He goes back and leaves the body. So that's what Prabhupada meant. I'll come back for all of you. If you're a devotee, you're chanting your 16 rounds, following the four regular principles, I'm obliged to take you back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, go Premanandi, hari hari go. Any questions? Anybody disagree? Prabhu, you disagree? No questions? There's a question. Don't leave yet. We've got some questions. I go if you got to go, no problem. It's late. Sorry.
I hope I can get this question together correctly. I was just reading something in the Bhagavatam he was describing how in relation to Krishna, there's someone is like Shiva is, I know Vishnu is 94% of qualities, Brahma is 84. I forgot the exact percentage, but you know what I'm talking about. And then the.
You're talking about the qualities of all these different personalities and
yeah,
how they relate.
With Vishnu. And then Prabhupada says that if one wants to enter the spiritual world, he has to reach like 78% or something like that. Otherwise, the fallen conditioned souls are low percentage.
Well, that's a lifetime study. What you're asking is going to take a couple of days to answer. But if you know one thing, that ultimately, if you're following this program, that's the real key. If you're following a program set up by Srila Prabhupada, if you're following that, you're connected to the whole line. You're connected to Vishnu, you're connected to Shiva, you're connected to everybody, all the demigods. And Prabhupada said this, spiritual master is the sum total of all the demigods. They're all incorporated within the spiritual master. And so here we are. And one time we asked Prabhupada in Los Angeles at Fate, we asked about how Lord Brahma looked. He's aged, so he said, "You got a beard, he's 52, he's having his dinner right now, so don't disturb him. If you want to know more, ask him," as if we had access to Lord Brahma. And so he said, you know, I've mentioned this, he says, you know, why should I talk to the constable when I can talk to the prime minister? So figure that one out. In other words, he had access to Krishna. Why should he talk to Lord Brahma? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, oh, Brahmanandi. I hope that answers you. But there's more. There's unlimited, you know. Haribo.